Welcome to Mentoring Moments. Mentoring Moments is a sub-series of the E-Commerce Edge podcast. It is composed of clips taken from Jason's one-to-one and group mentorship sessions. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Mentoring Moments. And I'm here on a mentorship session with my man, Evo. And he's got some a great agenda lined up for us today to talk about in terms of how he would think about marketing next commerce from a potential affiliate perspective, partnership perspective, et cetera. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Evo, and you can describe what you have been thinking about over the last couple of weeks and what you'd like to cover today.
Thank you, Jason. Great to be here. And yeah, excellent. I think affiliate marketing is such a big and important topic for company, particularly in the B2C field. It's really a big channel. It's growing also in the B2C field. Companies use it for different kind of models, pay-per-click to get more traffic, or pay-per-lead, or even pay-per-sale, which is probably most common. And also it limits the risk on the companies, right, on the partners. As the affiliate, it bears the risk of getting the traffic or that lead or that sale. So I wanted to explore with you the potential for Next Commerce in particular, if this is something that we could do, as we have that tool that allows us to brand, to basically to sell that product, for instance, in the branded environment, right? It gives more trust than on other platforms. So the benefit is that the affiliate partner doesn't need to have an online shop. We have taken that burden off them already. So I wanted to explore with you the field of affiliate marketing in the B2B segment. And yeah, so should I shoot my first question out?
Yeah, for sure. Fire away.
All right. Excellent. The first question for me is maybe the most obvious one, right? Do you think affiliate marketing can make sense in the B2B field? And maybe we can also cover the different segments. Of course, there are products that are more individualized, and then there are products that are more standardized. If we think about office equipment, or if we think about workwear or telecommunications, these are very much standardized products or even services. But is this everything that's out there for B2B, or do you think maybe there are also other fields? So these are my first questions to kick us off.
Great question. I think you're on the right track in terms of how do we think about building a network of partners that are in a position to be able to promote our platform across media channels that they own primarily. Doesn't have to just be media channels, doesn't just have to be blogs and other networks of business websites, informational websites, news websites. Those are, when we think of affiliates in the B2C and D2C world, that's usually what we're thinking of. We're thinking of affiliate networks or affiliate platforms that we can join where we offer a percentage of a click or percentage of a lead or percentage of a conversion based on traffic that is sent to our website from those platforms. And so most affiliate platforms are effectively two-sided marketplaces. You have publishers on one side, which are the people that own these blogs, own these websites, etc. And on the other side, you have the vendors, such as yourself, or such as an e-commerce website, for example, that wants to do affiliate marketing in the B2C or D2C world. And effectively, they put a tracking pixel. The affiliate platform, the marketplace, allows the news website or the news aggregator to place a pixel or a piece of tracking JavaScript basically on their website that adds a cookie to the user's browser. And then when they go from that affiliate platform to the third-party platform and make a purchase or do whatever it is that they've agreed to do, then they pay them out on a percentage basis, on a monthly basis. And the platform actually pays the affiliate and the merchant pays the affiliate platform. So really, they're just a middleman. Those affiliate platforms are just a network. They provide a bit of technology and they are the middleman / middle woman between the affiliate and the vendor. Now, we've got a similar sort of a model in the SaaS world in that typically what you would have is you wouldn't necessarily have an affiliate being a publisher or a news outlet or a blog, although they can be. Typically, they are agencies or other technical partners. Those become your affiliates, even if they don't necessarily sell your platform, i.e., necessarily recommend the platform to their customers that they would implement if they are to recommend that platform to either their customers or on their own website or their own blog, for example, as an agency, then they can make an affiliate fee. So in the latter model, as opposed to the former model, you have B2C and D2C focused affiliate platforms, and then you have more B2B focused affiliate platforms, right? And the latter would usually be platforms like PartnerStack or Impact.com. There are B2B marketplaces that are formed, or you can call them affiliate platforms, but they're usually called partner platforms. Partner management platforms is usually what they're known as. But today, if, for example, so I work in e-commerce, for example, but let's say hypothetically, so I offer services in the e-commerce space, but and because I make content around this, mm-hmm. I could join up. In fact, I am a member of PartnerStack because there are certain platforms that I solution on that mm-hmm. manage their technical partners or their agency partners or their consulting partners through PartnerStack. But there are a lot of other platforms that offer an affiliate program through PartnerStack that I don't represent, I don't work with, I don't recommend. But if I wanted to, mm-hmm. let's say I wanted to recommend those platforms or create an ad around those platforms and place that ad in my own podcast or in some of my own written content or in my blog on my website, if I wanted to do that, I could do that through impact.com or through PartnerStack.com. They would give me the affiliate tracking link so that if someone follows that link, it automatically adds my tag, my affiliate tag to the URL, almost like a UTM tag.
Yes.
It automatically applies that tag to the URL so that if anybody follows follows that URL from, say, for example, a podcast description, and there was the link in there and they followed that link, right? Or let's say I created a Bitly link mm-hmm. that included that affiliate tracking tag in the URL, and then I put that on my website or I put that somewhere else. Even if I didn't technically sell that platform or support that platform or architect on that platform, I could recommend it through my own sort of network of influence that I have. And so I think there's nothing wrong with using the same platform for both purposes. So let's say hypothetically, you wanted to create a network of agency partners that helped you implement your platform with their clients that happen to be manufacturers or wholesalers that they have a dealer network. Mm-hmm. So you obviously want to create partnerships in that way that they can actually recommend the product into new solutions that they're building for their clients. But that same platform, so let's say hypothetically, again, you're using PartnerStack, you could create effectively an affiliate program through PartnerStack that is independent of the formal partnership program that you have for agencies. You could almost have two tiers. You could have your standard. So you could have tiers, right? You could have formal partner tiers, which I don't know. Let's just say hypothetically, I don't know. Let's say you have a partner tier that says we give our partners 20% of all our SaaS revenue for the life of the customer. Let's just say. Mm-hmm. But you could have a lower tier, which is in effect, instead of being a reseller tier, you could have a referral partner tier, where mm-hmm. the only thing they do is recommend it. And that could be directly to their customers, or it could be through their own media channels, et cetera. And then other people and other, I guess, industry luminaries, so to speak, that have their own sphere of influence who don't do implementations at all. Because there's mm-hmm. lots of consultants out there, like me, who don't do implementations, but they have a level of influence in the industry where they are able to promote your platform in the right situation, right? Mm-hmm. And to say, hey, or even if it's someone asked them a question in a Slack channel, hey, what's a good platform for this? Or maybe they've got an email newsletter that they send out to their customers,
right?
And they decide to feature you in their newsletter and then put that affiliate link in the newsletter because they'll get credit for that. So I think that you wouldn't necessarily see a ton of benefit of being part of a retail affiliate network, like for B2C, D2C, maybe it's a retail e-commerce website. But I think there's nothing wrong with running your entire partner program through a platform like PartnerStack or Impact.com or whatever, and being able to service two types, because you're effectively talking about partnerships, right? There's nothing wrong with running two different affiliate partner programs through platforms like that.
Right, because that actually, now you gave me a different spin on my thoughts. I didn't know about PartnerStack or Impact.com, but I understand that now, okay, there are possibilities and there are platforms already in the B2B space that offer that, as you said, the reseller or the the sale or the referral. Thank you. Okay, and that's interesting. I need to check that out after our podcast. Because initially what I thought about is talking to businesses that maybe are in the stage of going into e-commerce, but they are not there yet, or they are trying it on a very low level. And with NextCommerce, with our platform, we could accelerate that process, or even just do it on a, which is do it independently of their efforts going into maybe going direct. And these were my initial thoughts. I actually listened to your podcast with the DC360. You published it recently. And what the call, what's his name, Mark?
Or Mark, yep, Mark Brohan, probably. Yep.
Okay, Mark, okay. So you guys went into a great detail of where the B2B e-commerce landscape is right now. I think mainly in the US, right? And my takeaway was, okay, it is growing. There are different kinds of marketplaces, or how you define them. There are different kinds of e-commerce models, or how you define them. But overall, bottom line, there's a tremendous growth. There's a tremendous demand for businesses to go into that digital, I think he or you, one of you called it digital commerce, right? Not e-commerce, but
yeah, he used that term. Yeah.
Okay.
And that encompasses all forms of digital commerce, whether it's EDI, whether it's punch out, whether it's self-service e-commerce. Regardless, the B2B world has a lot of different models around e-commerce that the B2C and D2C world doesn't have.
But what he mentioned, though, is that many businesses that he referred to have a login-based e-commerce gated experience. And that would prevent them still to venture into basically going out into the market, showing, okay, our products are available and we will also display our price and you have the buy now option. And this is exactly why I thought, okay, maybe a B2B affiliate kind of model for me would make sense. You understand how these thoughts, I thought about it, but that podcast came at the right time, actually, and helped me also focus on this session.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting because in that model, if they don't show prices at all, then it begs the question, where would your buy now option be displayed, for example, on their website, right? So they have to have an accessible website that people can actually log into and see before the buy now would be able to be displayed. And so I think that's the only question is, where would your platform be displayed? Where would your experience be displayed effectively? It may be able to be displayed once the customer authenticates and logs in, but they have to have a website to be able to experience your platform, right?
Yeah, no, they don't, because we have a link that leads them to a microsite. And that microsite would be branded as theirs, as their brand, where the customer can then buy or purchase, do the transaction. And that would be, and that's why I called it affiliate marketing. We could do the marketing. The customer would come to that microsite that would look like the brand. We would brand it like that, and then see the product, see the price, can purchase online, and that would go straight to the manufacturer, for instance, or maybe one of the sales partners, whatever the agreement would be, to then do the fulfillment.
And so this could actually be, sorry to interrupt you, I'm almost thinking this could be almost a first step before implementing full-blown, like their own e-commerce experience full stop. Like this be a stepping stone where they have an info website, which is all these B2B brands have an info website, but a lot of them haven't implemented e-commerce at all yet.
Yes.
They don't even have a gated experience because there's no experience to have. But what they could add as a stepping stone to getting to a place where they have a full-blown owned e-commerce experience is they could just have one single link in their header that says shop. And then it takes them to your experience, which is a microsite, which is their effectively shopping experience. But the shopping experience is actually fully fulfilled and managed by their dealers. And basically, the entire experience is mediated through your e-commerce experience, but they don't have to hold stock. They don't have to show inventory. They don't have to have orders going into their ERP. They don't have to have system integration with all their back-end systems to create that front-end experience. They don't have to have the request to quote experience. They don't have to have anything CPQ. They don't have to have anything. Really, you're providing the end-to-end e-commerce experience for them as a stepping stone to a fully owned e-commerce experience. And they may never be in a position to want to build an owned e-commerce experience. If they really just want to help promote sales to their dealers, then this is a way to get into that market very quickly and very easily using assets they already have and really just leveraging the traffic to their site to get them there. And I always thought that was the key vector for you. I always thought that the primary vector for you is brands that have a large dealer network that oftentimes don't even know how to build an e-commerce website that can fairly compensate their dealers when sales are going through them, then this gets them into the e-commerce space very quickly. And I guess what you're trying to say is maybe you can create an incentive beyond just the sales of product via their dealer network, because obviously they make their margin, they make their manufacturer's margin on these dealers anyway. But I think what you're saying is to sweeten the deal, to help them, to encourage them to come on board, is to effectively cut their platform costs. They can, they at the same time they sign up to use your platform, they become an affiliate of your platform.
That's it. That's exactly it, Jason. And I want to evaluate with you the potential of that, because that the entry into the digital commerce way, like the barrier would be very low, extremely low. They have almost zero risk. Even, and this is something that we can also talk about, I could also bear some of the risk of, let's say, marketing their products and services. Depends on the deal that we would eventually have in whenever there's a transaction, right? And this is exactly, and this is what I package under B2B affiliate marketing in this for our discussion. But you got it point on.
And in your current business model, who normally pays the fees, the transactional fees that you guys make your living on going through the platform? Is it the merchants that list? Is it the dealers that actually list their products through your platform? Is it them? So if a transaction goes to them and it's routed to them, then effectively you're taking a percentage of that sale, right? Because you've helped them secure the transaction. So you're charging them. You're not charging the dealer themselves. Sorry, the manufacturer. You're not charging the manufacturer anything. You're charging the dealers that list on that effectively marketplace. And you're only charging them when you secure a sale for them, right? Is that the basic business model of how you guys make your money? Hey team, I have a big favor to ask you. Please pause this episode and send the link of this episode to someone you know that you think would enjoy this content. Really appreciate you spreading the word. This is how we grow. We're not a Joe Rogan. We don't have big, massive advertising budgets, but we absolutely want to grow. We want to get the learnings from all of these episodes out to as wide of an audience as possible, and we need your help to do it. Thank you, and now back to your listening.
The basic business model is actually that we charge the brand for using the platform, and they can then list as many dealers as they want. But the dealers do have to pay a transaction fee, because this is done via our payment provider who takes a cut. He, like the general cut, 3.5%, but the monthly fee is paid by the manufacturer himself. But now in this affiliate model, it could look like us marketing the products of that manufacturer. And whenever there's a sale, the dealer would still pay the transaction fee. And we can then show the manufacturer, look, there have been X number of sales last month through our platform, And for that, you need to reimburse us whatever the agreement is. So we would act as an additional channel or additional, I'm not quite sure how to call it, but we would be another actor, like someone mm-hmm. who is basically a brand ambassador, let's call it like mm-hmm. that, right? Mm-hmm. Promoting mm-hmm. their products, but also being able to fit into their usual sales process, right? As they sell through dealerships, as they sell through sales partners and their distributors, that would not change. We would just add another lane of pushing traffic to the dealer, not only traffic. We would even give them orders, directly orders. So that was the thought behind it. And then the question is, okay, would that take us a bit off our core business where we want to sell our platform to the manufacturer to help him, let's say, convert his marketing via his dealers? Or should we play the role of marketeer, like external agency that drives traffic, our platform, and then drive orders to the dealers?
That's a really good question. And I don't know the answer to that off the top of my head in terms of which one would be more commercially beneficial for you and the manufacturer, the brand. I would tend to think that your costs would be infinitely higher if you were also taking on the responsibility of effective, you'd almost become like a blog in the sense that you'd be driving traffic to your blog, but it's in this case, it's a sales platform, mm-hmm. but you would be taking on the role and the responsibility of effectively marketing your platform and the brands that are on it, as much like an Amazon would, that they mm-hmm. do marketing to drive people to their own website, right? They clip yes. the ticket on the sales, but they drive traffic to their own website. When they do a lot of marketing around Amazon to get new customers to become Amazon customers through Prime, et cetera, et cetera. What you could look at doing is to set up a Prime-like experience, right? Where you charge a membership fee for customers to access all the brands that are on your platform. And then you have subscription revenue coming in, right? That's also a possibility. I think this goes back to our talk we had a few weeks ago, which is the simplest way, at least to start anyway, is probably the easiest way. Because all of a sudden now, when you start layering on complexity on top of your core business, which is providing technology, all of a sudden now you're introducing more variables into the equation and you're introducing more risk into the equation. I think that at least as you're starting out, making a really clear and compelling value proposition to the brand, saying, look, for your $500 a month, $1,000 a month, whatever it is you end up charging or tiering or whatever it is you do, it feels like that's a very clear value proposition to those mm-hmm. brands. It's, yes. hey, you don't have to stand up an e-commerce platform of any kind. We're going to, and you don't have to run the risk of alienating dealers when you do that. Because you will alienate dealers if you go this route. Yes. So to short circuit all of that, not have you go through the process, not have you go through this massive expensive e-commerce build, they could still set up e-commerce for their dealers, meaning B2B e-commerce for their dealers, so that the transactions where their dealers buy off them, they would still need to implement e-commerce for that. A lot of times today, they don't do that. But what they wouldn't have to do is to ever set up a direct-to-consumer experience. That's really what you're replacing. You're replacing the D2C experience. You are not replacing the B2B e-commerce experience between them and their dealers, right? So,
yes.
But what you are doing is you are creating the D2C experience without them having to build that or specialize in that. Mm-hmm. And for B2B brands, where they normally sell only to dealers, they don't have any D2C capability. They don't have any ability to run that experience. So now that I think about it, you've raised a very good talking point, which is that even if they built a D2C website, they would still have to drive traffic to it. They would still have to do performance marketing. They would still have to potentially do influencer marketing. They would still have to drive traffic to that experience if they wanted to grow the brand. They would yes. still have to drive traffic to that experience, right? So it's a very good question. You could potentially have tiers, So here's the tier whereby, okay, you're driving already massive amounts of traffic to your website. You don't need to do any additional D2C marketing because you think you've already got that nailed. Maybe you've already got an in-house team that's driving traffic to your brand already. Maybe you've got that skill and capability in-house. Okay, cool. You don't need it. You just pay us the platform fee and you go for your life because you're already doing all those D2C efforts in your business today. Mm-hmm. But maybe you even, maybe they even have a D2C website. Maybe it's on a Shopify or something like that today. And they could just get rid of all that. They could get rid of all the headache, all the hassle, and just basically let you run that for them, right? So, but maybe you have another tier that is a, maybe this is where the affiliate tier comes in, whereby you say, okay, you still have to pay for the, maybe you still have to pay for the platform, maybe not. That's up for debate. But we're going to become an actual full-blown affiliate partner with you. We're going to drive the traffic that you can't to your D2C experience, which your D2C experience is going to be on our platform. So we're going to be driving and paying and driving with that. But effectively, it's almost like a reverse affiliate program in the sense that you become the affiliate of theirs, right?
Yes.
Which traction, which transactions you're driving because you have the receipts, basically.
That's it.
And so I think this is a very, I'm not aware of anyone else doing this model. And sometimes that's just disruptive enough to be very interesting. Right. So I think it's absolutely worth thinking about. I went through this mental exercise with you verbally because I didn't really have a full picture of what you were thinking, but now it makes sense to me, right? For brands that drive enough traffic and they've already got their household name and they've already got dealers wanting to come to them and they've already got D2C customers that would like to buy their goods, then obviously you just need to provide the platform and the avenue to allow that to happen. You act as the facilitator, right? You act as the marketplace to allow that to happen. But in scenarios where brands aren't a household name and aren't driving a massive amount of traffic to their website, but they would like to do some form of direct-to-consumer sales without pissing their dealers off, then this kind of affiliate-style program could work really well for them. I think it's just how you price it. I think that's the key.
Yeah. And also interesting that you called it reverse affiliate program. But you gave me a lot of new thoughts and how to distinguish those two models that you just described, right? Because, yes, we talked last time or in our previous session, I think, we talked about the pricing. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, pricing of your SaaS platform, how to price it and how to create the tiering.
Exactly. And now there was also one of the thoughts where I was, okay, when we initially started out our mentorship sessions, what I wrote down and said, okay, this is also something that I wanted to talk to you about. And you gave me much more clarity. And maybe I have one final question. What B2B sectors or segment, like industry sectors, would come to mind to you off on top of your head now where it would make sense? Because there's this notion in B2B that our processes are very special, our products are very individualized and our pricing is very much customer focused. So we have it, which is distinguishing B2B and B2C, right? We have a customer based pricing rather than a product based pricing. And so where would you see that kind of reverse affiliate model working?
I think it more comes down to how their dealers are doing pricing. Then, because you wouldn't necessarily need to have a formal affiliate program with these brands. You, as long as you've got their dealers willing to sign up and get you the data feeds, et cetera, of what they have and what their wholesale pricing is, as long as they get their wholesale price, they don't really care beyond that. And so the way you might look at this is, if I can get a network of dealers to list through us, maybe for the D2C sales that we facilitate, maybe we just add on 10%, or maybe we just add on a flat fee onto every price feed that we get from any dealer to make sure it's fair and even across the board and it doesn't disadvantage any dealer. Maybe we just mark up the prices by 10%, right? So we still send the orders off to the dealer like we normally would to be fulfilled directly to the customer. But we only send them the agreed price, the agreed wholesale price that they feed to us. We just pay them that, and we keep any markup, because that's effectively what you're talking about. You're talking about effectively becoming a wholesaler on behalf of the dealer. That's effectively what you're, but a D2C wholesaler on behalf of the dealer. So long as the dealer gets their cut, you can mark up whatever you think is a fair markup. Maybe to keep it clean and simple for yourself to start out with, maybe it's just a flat markup. Maybe it's 5%, 10%, whatever it is. But you could do markups down to the SKU level based on what the retail price is in the market, the average retail price is in the market for that product. Maybe you look at prices on Amazon, or maybe you look at prices on other D2C websites, because some of those dealers will have their own D2C website, right? But at the end of the day, they still can't get in front of every potential customer either. And if your platform is starting as effectively a marketplace platform, starting to drive a truckload of traffic, and that you can then cross-pollinate and cross-market, right? The only concern I have in that environment is, would the brand then look at you as a competitor? And would the dealers potentially look at you as a competitor? I don't know. That's the challenge, right? In this market dynamic where you are effectively driving traffic as if you were the D2C website, or the brand, would the dealers even potentially see you as a competitor to them if they have their own D2C website? Or would they see that as just another channel to get wholesale sales through, where in markets where they might not be able to penetrate? That's a very challenging question, because at the end of the day, you would potentially do more harm than good if either party, either side of the marketplace that you're running, if either side saw you as a competitor in any way, then that would potentially destroy your core business model. So I think that's the risk. Right.
Yeah.
So I especially if the brand was ever thinking about potentially doing their own D2C play at any point in the future, then they would say, geez, you're effectively doing that already. That's not necessarily great. We want to own this experience. Or maybe you have it in the, maybe you just tell them, look, we're selling D2C, but if at any point you decide to sell D2C directly yourself, then we'll stop listing. We'll basically just go back to the straight dealer model, where we're just listing products on behalf of your dealers at their exact price that they furnish us. And we're not going to stand in your way, but we're going to stand in the gap in the meantime. And we're going to sell your products effectively D2C for you on behalf of dealers.
Yes, under their
Yeah, exactly. Because we're already offering those products already anyway. Maybe we effectively just offer a markup experience. There's no easy answer to this, I guess, is what I'm saying. But it's very interesting to explore. Interesting to explore.
Definitely gave me a lot of input to think about and to reflect upon. And I will let you know
how it goes and how you decide
how it
to go.
Goes. Yes, exactly. Yes.
Look, but I think you can only just talk to the brands. Just have a conversation with them. I think before you go down this path, just have a conversation with them and say, look, we want to provide this dealer channel for your dealers that is in some respects a B2B channel for the dealers, but in some respects maybe it's a D2C channel for the dealers. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It really depends on what the product is and what vertical they play in. But it is a very interesting conversation, I think, to have. I think it really just comes down to what the brands want and what they see as valuable to them. Mm-hmm. But again, there are probably some brands where you could go out and talk to their dealers directly without the brand even knowing, because you don't necessarily need the brand to know. Because your business is actually with the dealers. The transactions and everything are through the dealers. They're not through the brand, right? Exactly. They are if the brand wants to establish effectively a dealer sales channel on their own website. But if they didn't want to do that, then you could always just do a deal directly with their dealers. So it really
That's
just depends
what
on what...
Actually,
really?
What happened after our podcast, one of your listeners reached out to me, and who is some sort of a distributor who wanted to learn more about the product, and we had conversations, and where I'm not directly talking to the brand, but to the distributor of that brand.
I know who this is. I know who it is. I recommend it to you. Okay. Yes, that's exactly. Amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. He reached out to me and said, oh, this could be good for our business, because I'm not a manufacturer. I'm a dealer. And do you think this platform could work for me? And it was like, yeah, I think so. But the thing is, he's not just a dealer for one brand. He's a dealer for many brands. And so this effectively allows him to create a sales experience that is only for him. So almost like he's the manufacturer's brand, right? So this is a very this is also another very interesting potential channel for you, is dealers like him, where he wants to list all of his products that he's the dealer for on a platform like yours, that effectively you become, he lists the buy link for the microsite on his website instead of the brand's website. So there's, it just feels to me like this is potentially a solution for a lot of B2B sales channel problems.
We are getting there now. So it's, there are definitely opportunities or different options, let's put it that way. And now the question is, what would be the, what is the best route to market, the best go-to-market approach, and that has the most traction, right? That resonates with the customers out there. So yeah, looking forward to explore that one in our next session.
Amazing, Ivo. Look, fantastic conversation, as always. You come with the fire, you come with the heat, you come with the really challenging, hard questions, and I like that. And because this is an area that I'm not, like, that I don't specialize in, I really can only draw from my personal experience in the market working with B2B manufacturers to try to think of things through their lens. But I feel like your platform has a lot of other ways to look at it and to consider it and to consider markets for it. So I'm really happy to be pushed to explore these alongside you. So really appreciate the agenda and look forward to catch up in a couple of weeks.
Definitely. And it was excellent. I loved that session. Again, Jason, beautiful.
If you'd like to get mentored by Jason for free, head over to greenwoodconsulting.net, scroll to the bottom of the page, and click Get Mentored by Jason.